Testing 1 2. Am I on? Are you up in here? Good. Welcome, fam. It's your girl Onyinye. Welcome to Rant of a Christian Millennial. Rant, fam. How are you, my people? Come on, man. What's been going on with you people? How is life? How are things? How is the buddy? How are all of you just? I hope all of you are just like blessed to be stressed, you know, rolling up on these streets with your fabulous, blessed self, you know, walking in grace, walking in power, you know. And your girl has been good. God is faithful. For my previous episode, I've been trying to take my own advice, and instead of getting all worked up with how I think things should be, I'm trying. It's not easy, but I am trying to start seeing that my victories are in the little things that I do every single day, and in the process, not in some big grand things. I mean, has there been setbacks? Yeah, and I think even this past week, I got some disappointing news that I didn't think. I was expecting things to turn out differently. I think it was, okay, so here was what happened. It was one of the jobs that I applied to. I applied for a position at Yale University, and honestly, first of all, I was completely shocked that like a top psychology lab at Yale University would even want to like pay attention to my application and even want to do an interview. So I did an interview with these people like a week after graduation. I was on a trip with my friends, but we found a hotel and I did my interview with them that morning, and it honestly went well. That was my first real interview, like job career related in my field interview. So I'm very sure I was all nerves, but I think I did a very good job. I did quite a good job. And since May, I've been really hoping and expecting, you know, that I'll get a good news from them. You know, that type of situation where it's like, you're like, let me not hope too much, but then I hope. Up until the point where I was even looking for apartments in New Haven, Connecticut, where Yale University is. Because honestly, that would have been bomb, you know? Working as a researcher at an Ivy League school. We're talking top 3-5 schools in the world. Who would not want that kind of swag? You know what I mean? But I don't know. Maybe God has better plans for me in this season than swag. So, I guess. We move. Last, we move. So, yeah, I'm trying to take my advice and do what needs to be done. But anyways, that was not what woke me up at 4:27 a.m. in the morning. Honestly, guys, I feel like I have this. It's insomnia that makes me do this podcast. Because sometimes I'll just be like lying on the bed and I'll be so filled with ideas, and I'll just like jump up and I'll just carry my laptop and I'll just start talking. So, yeah. But today I'm going to talk about something very interesting. The title of what I'm going to talk about might be quite scandalous to religious folks and church folks, and some of you might have raised eyebrows, but I think in my mind I have readied myself for whatever response I will get from this. So the title of this podcast is called Cock Blocked by Jesus. Yes, you heard me. cocked blocked by Jesus. I'm going to be talking about how I have been cocked blocked by Jesus. And before all of you religious people get all worked up and start coming at me, listen to the meaning of cock block. And I'm bougie, so I didn't go to Urban Dictionary, because you know Urban Dictionary is just the ghetto. Urban Dictionary is the ghetto. So I didn't go to, actually, I went to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. So you see, we be bougie like that. See, we're getting our definitions not from Urban Dictionary. So it's okay. It's okay, okay? Yes. So Merriam-Webster Dictionary says cock block means to interfere with the sexual advances of someone, especially a man, towards another person, sometimes used figuratively. Now, that's for your bougie folks, okay? Now, let's go to the streets and check out what Urban Dictionary says. I swear, Urban Dictionary is the ghetto. Okay, so peep this. This is what Urban Dictionary says. It says, is the prevention, the first definition is the prevention of a potential hookup, either done by, nah, I don't like this. See, I don't like Urban Dictionary. So, okay, let me try another one. Urban Dictionary is ratchet. I'm actually trying to, oh my God. I am trying to look for, I'm trying to look for an appropriate definition from Urban Dictionary that would be appropriate for this podcast. But it just has really raggedy and ratchet. Some really ratchet. This, okay, I think I found something appropriate. Cock block can also happen literally when someone prevents you from having sexual intercourse with a female of interest. I guess we can work this. You know what? Yeah, we're not doing Urban Dictionary. We're going to stick with the Wikipedia has something too. Even though I really don't trust Wikipedia sometimes because it be things. Okay, Wikipedia says, cockblock is a slang term for an action, whether intentional or not, that prevents someone from having sex. So yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about, but more of in the context of celibacy. So, I just realized that my microphone died on me. But can you guys hear me now? I hope you can hear me now. But anyways, let me check to see if I can power up this mic and then I'll come back to this. Okay. We back. Yep. We back. We back. The devil wanted to, you know, block this podcast with technical issues, but hey, we're back out here. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Anyways, I just got like a pair of earphones to plug in. But yeah, where was I? I was giving you guys the bougie definition of cock block, and I guess I was talking about, I was going to segue into like what does this, what does that even have to do with me? You know, what does Jesus, I mean, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with Jesus? Like, what is that? So yeah, I think I have been celibate, and I guess I have to explain what celibacy also means. Celibacy means that's just a state of, just remaining, abstaining from sex is like a voluntary decision to abstain from sexual relations or intercourse with anybody till you're in like a matrimonial relationship or till you get married to a person. And I think for me, my whole journey of celibacy started, at first it wasn't really serious. I think I always kind of, for me, I always wanted to be, being like a church girl and everything, right? I always knew that about, you know, how they tell us about sex and marriage and waiting and all of that. But like, for me, it never really, I always knew that, well, we should, as Christians, we should try to, we should abstain from premarital sex and everything. But to me, it never really became personal as something, as a journey I wanted to actively embark on until sometime in the summer of 2016, I would say. It was also a very interesting transition for me because I had just broken up with my first boyfriend and first committed relationship the previous year. So I was going through this like season of trying to know, find myself again, trying to know who I was and just trying to like recalibrate into things. So when I moved to the US, like there was already that distance, but I now decided that, you know what, like in the summer of 2016, I decided that I think I want to be more serious. And I think I got a true conviction in my heart that I wanted my body to be calm. So at first, it was voluntary. I wanted my body, I realized that my body is a temple. I was like, God, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this for real. It was not going to just be like in words or in thought, but like in actions too. So I wanted to actively serve God with my body, and I didn't want to just like, you know, when the Bible talks about casting your pearls onto pigs, I didn't just want to put myself like that. I wanted my body to be holy, to be an acceptable offering unto God. And I didn't want sex to just become, you know, how in our culture, hookup culture, is like sex is nothing. Everybody just does what they want. I didn't want it to be that way for me. I wanted it to become something holy. I wanted it to become something pure, especially with the person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. My girl, my big sis, Sarah Jakes Roberts, said one time that sex is an act of worship. Charlie, an act of worship. When you hear that, when you hear it in that context, your mind can never be the same, because like you're offering your body to your partner, your matrimonial partner, and the person is offering his or her bodies to you, and you guys are just exploring yourself under this union that God has blessed and approved of. But I mean, I started getting to that point in my life where it's like, I just wanted more. I didn't want it to be play anymore. So I decided in summer of 2016, I was going to go on to this journey of celibacy. I was going to wait. Everything was going to be locked down, cha-ching, ching-ching for Jesus until I met the right one. And even if I would meet the right one and we get into a relationship, we would still have to wait until we get married before we actually, you know, get down, get jiggy with it, you know. So honestly, and that has been my journey since like 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, for almost the past 5 years. And I would say like, it wasn't when I first started, like, it really wasn't so much of a struggle. I mean, it would be hard sometimes, you know, but I think I was also in that frame of, I was also a whole lot younger. I was at least 21, 22. I mean, I've always had like a lot of male attention, but I don't think I was really like, I was just different. It was a different vibe that I had. Like I said, age also had to do. I guess I had that drive, like, okay, this is how it is. I'm going to focus on this thing. But I think more recently, for the past 1 or 2 years, things have been a little bit difficult. Things have been a whole lot harder. I mean, in the past 5 years, I haven't engaged in any physical relations with any guy or anything. Like, even when I was in a relationship with someone, we were not physical. It wasn't like a physical relationship. And I know that's hard to believe, especially in this time and age. But honestly, when you meet someone and both of you agree that, look, we're going to honor God with our bodies and we're going to wait till we get married, we're going to wait for the process. And also, it was also a thing where it's like, sometimes when sex comes into the mix, it blurs a lot of lines, and now you're not only like emotionally committed, you're now physically committed, and it blurs a lot of lines. So even when I was in a like relationship, it was like it was not physical. It was, although it didn't work, I think the best part, the one of the things I enjoyed from that relationship was the fact that we were both we both decided that we would not engage in any physical thing. We're going to respect and honor God with our bodies. And honestly, like this thing they talk about soul ties is real, because when we eventually broke up, I don't think it wasn't as bad as it would have been if we were physically active, you know. So it was like a clean break. There was no, it was hard, but there was no like sexual and or emotional like wahala wrapped it up. So, and I think that's one of the benefits that I've gotten from being celibate. Like when I get into something with somebody, it's easy to actually walk out of it because I'm not tied up in any way to that person. So yeah, but like I said, this past 1 or 2 years have been actually harder for me. And I honestly don't know. I was talking to a friend about it. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I am 25 this year. I'm 25, and I guess in December I'll turn 26. So it could be I'm getting older, hormones and everything. I'm becoming even more sexually aware. And honestly, like, it's almost like our culture is ruled by sex. Everything is a, there's a sexual reference to everything. The songs we listen to, the movies we watch, everything sells sex. So it's like, I don't even know, but I feel like this year it has even been, between the last two, past 2 years has been more difficult. It has been a struggle for me. And I just want to take this moment to give a shout out to every other person on the struggle. Like, we see ourselves and we know ourselves. I raise my hands for you. I don my cap, Twali, whatever. But yeah, it's been even harder for me this year. And I think I found myself, not this year, this year, I found myself in like compromising situations where it's like normally 2 or 3 years ago, like I probably wouldn't even like give it a thought. I'll just be like, nah, I'm not down for that, move on. But I found myself recently wanting to like intentionally put myself in compromising situations where it's like, you know what, God, like I just want to see, I just want to try this out. You know, I am tired. Your girl is burning up. Like, Konji is a madman. For people that don't really understand what congee is in Nigerian language, it's like, you know, that feeling you get when you're so heated up and you're so burnt up, there are things that are burning on the inside of you and you don't know how to, like, you know, like release it. But yeah, it's like this thing has been burning up inside of me, and I've been like, God, I just need, like, at this point, like, I don't get it. Like, what is the point? Like, why am I doing this? I've been this way. I've been celibate for almost 5 years. Like, and it doesn't look like there's any redemption on the horizon. I mean, I'm still actively very single. I'm not seeing anyone. So it's like there's no hope. It's almost like I came to a point where one time I was just praying to God. I was like, God, you know what? Like, I just want to marry to have sex. Like, I'm tired. Like, I just want to marry to have sex. Like, what is this? This is too much. So it's like, yes, I've actually found myself. Like, at the beginning, it was all nice. It was all Gucci. I was just flowing in my purity and in my, just being married to Jesus. But now, Charlie, it is hard. I don't think it has been so hard. Like, I now actively want to be in situations where I am compromised, where my conviction is compromised. And honestly, like, I remember something that just happened. But it's funny because it's almost like every single time I try to be in that place, it's almost like the entire Trinity is just looking at me, like when the Father, God, and Son is just looking at me like, really, girl, are you sure? It's like, really, really? It's like, it's almost like they're stumbling blocks for me not to be in such situations. Like, I had a recent ex, this is, well, it's somewhat recent with some dude. I met this dude and I was feeling him and he was feeling me, and oh, he was fine. He wasn't even like Nigerian or anything. It's Latin, hot-blooded. Oh, and it was just like, I don't know, it's just like he just had this hot blood thing, this hot blood Latin thing going about him. And I was like, yeah, I want to tap into that, you know? But like, I realized that at the end of the day, like, I wasn't looking to be in a serious relationship with the boy, with the guy, because it's like, honestly, even though I might be driven by my carnal desires, I actually know what I desire and want and what I have agreed with God as to what I want from a relationship. And I saw that, and it wasn't really, I didn't really see that as a relationship that would go in that direction. I saw it as a relationship where this person might just be like, honestly, maybe that kind of dude where I can just like play around with, but I will never be serious with him. So I tried to make that clear to him, like, look, this is what the situation is going to be, and I don't want it to be that way for you. And it was hard, but at the end of the day, I guess we all got caught up and we just kind of like let it go, a clean break. But I think sometime towards the end of the year, I feel like I have these urges in phases. Sometime towards the end of the year 2020, like, I don't know, I saw him again and this fire started burning again. And I remember I would just be talking to God. I would just be telling God, God, I don't care again. Like, I don't care. I just want to get down with this boy. Like, what are we even doing this for self? What am I holding on to this for self? I just want to get down with this boy. Even though it's just one make-out section, I don't care. Let's just something happen. I'll never forget, like, I was driving back from work one day and I was just giving God, your girl was giving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Holy God, all the reasons why I wanted to get down with this boy and get jiggy with this boy. I was listening out everything. I was like, you know what, let me just do it. Let me just do it and satisfy myself and remove myself from this situation. And I just started giving God. And honestly, I was in my car driving home and I just started giving God this list. I was like, you know what, God, I know, like, I'm in this vow of celibacy with you, but you know, it's been hard, it's been tough. And honestly, I just want to taste small and go back, and I'll ask you for forgiveness, and that is all. Stupid logic. But anyways, I said all these things and I prayed all these prayers. And at the end of the day, I was like, you know what, God, like, I know that I don't have, of course, you're never going to approve to this thing, but I'm going to do it anyways. So I texted my guy and I was like, hey, you know what? And I was just, you know, chatting him up and everything. And I was like, I was going to segue. I was like, you know what? You were supposed to, like, you know, teach me this, do this. Let's go dancing one night and everything. And the next day, my guy replied with, sorry, I'm talking to someone now. Bro. Bro, when I tell you, it felt like the entire heavenly hosts were laughing at me. I felt like that was a joke that Jesus played on me. I felt like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, my guardian angel, the 24 elders. I felt like all of them were just laughing at me. They were just like, you see yourself, you see your foolishness. actually wanted to initiate this thing with this boy, and then it was just blocked, like blocked the blocked button. Boom. I was like, I got out of my car, and it was on the 31st night. I got out of my car. I was like, yeah, right. Like, good one, Jesus. Are you happy now? Like, have you had your good laugh? Yeah, whatever. And but it was something. But I mean, it's been like scenarios like that where it's like, even when I try now, it's like now I try to actively initiate something, and it's just like I can't even do it anymore. I can't even initiate anything. So I'm in this place where it's like, look, God, you better do something now because your girl is tired. I mean, it's been hard, but at the end of the day, it's also been very rewarding. Because, like I said, when there's, it's just peace of mind, first of all, knowing fully well that you're not entangled with anybody. You know, it's been hard, but there's just something. There's a reason why I'm still on this journey. You know, it's still been a very rewarding journey where it's like I have this peace of mind. I'm in a state of peace. I'm not connected in any drama with anybody. I don't have to worry about certain things that maybe people would be who are active in premarital sex would be worried about. Like, I know that my body, like, literally is value, and I'm treating it as a holy value and holy vessel to God, and I'm honoring God and I'm worshiping God with my body, and just knowing that I'm doing things the right way, and not just in words but in actions too, is like being in a in an agreement with God. And when I look back, I don't think I would change this journey for anything. It's my story, it's my truth. Being celibate has helped me in my spiritual journey. It has helped me grow. It has helped me be mature. It has helped me have more deeper relationship with God. Not saying that people that are active, that in premarital sex and are Christians, because you know some of us Christians are, it's hard to break away from this. Not saying that though, but I'm just saying that it has taken me to a different level of spirituality and clarity in my walk and maturity in my relationship with God. Knowing that coming into God's presence, I am free, I am holy, you know, it's just something I would never give away for anything. So yeah, they are, I would never give away this journey for anything. It's hard, but I know that. And the thing about being celibate is that you do not have to do it alone. Like, I've learned that I have not had to walk on this journey alone. I can, that there have been times where it's like I didn't even know that I could go further. Excuse me. But the Holy Spirit has been my strength. The Holy Spirit has guided me. The Holy Spirit is almost like one day at a time. It's like, just keep going, girl. Just keep going, girl. Just keep going, girl. Just keep going. You're a woman of value. You're a woman of worth. You're a temple of the living God, holy and acceptable sacrifice. You know, just keep going. And honestly, you would, it's like you're never alone on this journey. He strengthens you for the battle. Like, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how hard it gets, God is literally in this battle with you in the trenches. And you're, the moments where you're burning up and your congee is on an all-time, I find that I found God in moments where I've burned up and my congee and horniness is in an all-time high. And I found God when it's been on a low, low. So it's like I have not been alone in this journey, and I'm really grateful to God for that. So it's like that's just my rant, and that's just my story. So if I don't think that I have any more to say on this. It's still going. We're still in this. Cha-ching for Jesus until the end is in sight, which would, for me, would be till meet the person that God has ordained for me. And to all of you that are on this journey, on the same journey, man, let's keep doing our thing. God's got us. I know it's hard out here on these streets and there are a lot of temptations, but like I said, we are not walking through this alone, and God is empowering us. The Bible says that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, so God is definitely, you are not alone. God is definitely in this journey with you. And trust me, there's a whole community of believers out here and people out here that actually walking on this journey like you are, so you don't need to feel that way. So people that are in relationships that in which they are waiting together, I throw my heart for you. Keep doing it. You're almost there. One day the end is near and your wedding night is coming soon. So just keep pressing on and keep worshiping God and use sacrifice in your relationship and honoring God with your relationship and your bodies. And for people that are not exactly there yet, maybe you feel like, this is your conviction, but this ain't my conviction yet, and I'm just gonna do my thing. Who do you? Honestly, we all have different journeys. We all have different faiths. We all have different points in our lives where we make certain decisions. So do you, you know? And if you're a person that you feel like, you know, what says I actually want to get on this journey too, you've been out on the streets, or maybe you just started, or maybe you're just like a newbie and you just don't want to be out on the streets like that, kudos to you, man. It won't be easy. It will be long. It will be hard, but it would be worth it. Take it from someone that has been on here for almost 5 years. It's hard, but it's rewarding, because I know that good day. And I have no regrets at all, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. So yeah, that's brings us to the end of this podcast episode. I hope my experience has been able to uplift you. I hope you've been able to connect, you know, the wait is worth it. I hope this has made you think as much as it has made you laugh. And please, nobody should come at me trying to judge me or criticize me. I beg, this is my truth. So you listen to it or we move. Okay? Stay blessed, y'all. Actually, I forgot to. I realized that I didn't say some part of this clearly. I wanted to say that for those of you who are considering, who have actually started thinking about starting this journey of celibacy, I think I mentioned something, but I didn't think I said it the way I wanted it to come out or the way it's hitting me in my spirit. If you've made the decision that you want to wait on God, you want to start this journey of celibacy, or maybe you've been out on the streets and you know what, you're like, sis, I'm tired. I don't want to live like this no more. I'm tired of being entangled. I just want to tell you that it just takes one solid decision. You know, finally coming to that decision where it's like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. For me, it was a moment in my bathroom on the floor, and I cried out to God, like, God, I want to live for you. I do not want to be entangled in the wrong ways with men anymore. I do not want to do this. I don't want to be in the wrong type of situation. I want to live for you. I want to do this. I want my body to be a living sacrifice. I'm tired of all this. I want to live for you. So if you're in that place where it's like, just make the decision and just pour out your heart to God. And honestly, he hears and he listens. And I remember when I made that decision, when I was lying on the floor, face flat in my bathroom, I want to describe it as a presence, as an energy that came upon me, you know, where it's like the things that I had, that I thought that I used to find pleasure in, those things did not come easy for me anymore. So God will help you. And when he helps, he helps. When he comes, he comes. Like, where it's like everything now becomes, you don't want to engage in any of that sexual stuff, because he comes in a big way. He becomes your protector. He becomes your he becomes your light. So you start to see light everywhere you go. Now you start to want to do things different. You start to want to act different. Even the music you listen to, you now want to listen to different kinds of music and watch different kinds of things, because now you have the Holy Spirit in you and showing you that, okay, don't do this. This will lead you to those dark places. This will start making you have these thoughts that will take you down to that spiral. Like, God will really come to be in this journey with you, but it just has to come from a solid decision on your part that you really want to go on this journey. And if you've been on this journey and at any point you've somehow, like, you know, veered off, or you've, you know, there was mistake, one thing led to another, it's fine, it's okay. We're humans and we make these mistakes all the time. The most important thing is making the decision that when you put your hand on the plow, when you go back there, when you get on that horse again, even if you fall off the horse, when you get back, there'll be no looking back. Once you make the decision that, you know what, I fell, but I want to get back up and I want to keep going and I want to keep moving forward, I promise you, God will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there to help you through. So if you've fallen off the horse, don't stew. Don't get stuck in the mud, because that's where the devil wants to come and hit you with all the condemnation and all the guilt and all the shame. And trust me, the only reason why he does this is to isolate you from God. So don't get stuck in that. Just rise up. Cry out to God for forgiveness, cry out to God for mercy, and start up again. Because guess what the Bible says? The righteous man falls seven times. Seven times. We will fall off, we will make mistakes, we will make errors. But the most important thing is, do not get stuck. Don't remain in that. Don't get stuck in that. Get up as fast as you can. Pray, cry out, ask for mercy, reach out to a close friend, preferably like a person that is on this journey of faith with you, a Christian, a believer. Pour out your heart, confess, and move on. Don't get stuck. It is very, very important. I cannot overemphasize this. Don't get stuck. Okay. All right. I think that's all I have to say for now. I might have more to this subject, but for now, this is all I have to say. Okay, bye for real now, guys.